Jeff Hutchison is driving you home. Yeah, yeah. ABC Radio Perth.
Current estimates are that maybe one in every 54 kids will be diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. And because it's a spectrum, it can manifest in a whole range of really diverse ways and behaviours, which can make getting help rather problematic and complicated. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. And researchers from the Autism CRC have this week released a landmark report distilling all the evidence on different types of autism interventions for kids up to the age of 12. And the result, they say, is something of a roadmap for families and clinicians and policymakers about what actually works. And joining me in the studio is Professor Andrew Whitehouse, the Research Strategy Director at the Autism CRC and Director of ClinicKids at Telethon. Well, a very good afternoon to you, Andrew.
G'day, Jeff.
It's been a while since we've seen you, and I imagine you've been rather busy doing very important work.
Oh, well, I don't know about that, but certainly we do feel that this piece of work is really important. I mean, take yourself to the point of diagnosis of a family whose child's developed differently and has received a diagnosis of autism, unlike other health and medical conditions out there where there are very clear clinical pathways of how we can get the best support to maximise the potential. We don't have that for autism. We have myriad paths that are defined by what clinician you go to, what service you go to, what you Google, and that's just not good enough.
Yeah, so you headed up a team that assessed lots of different therapies and interventions. Can you give me some examples of the scope of that?
Yeah, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of different types of therapies out there. And at once, that's a blessing, but also a major hindrance to helping families make informed choices. And so what we did through this report was conduct the largest review that's ever been done of all of these dozens of different interventions and try to identify which of the different therapies and interventions may be best for which children on the autism spectrum. And the result is this report. And as you said in your introduction, we really hope that this is going to be a roadmap for families that they can actually start to identify which is the best path for them.
Well, let's bring Nicole into this conversation too. Nicole is the mum of a young fella, Mitchell, who was diagnosed, I think, last year. Nicole, welcome to you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Tell me about life with Mitch.
Well, it's fun. He's a lovely boy. He's a happy four-year-old attending kindy now. And when he was around the age of 1.5, between the ages of 1.5 to 2, we had started to notice some changes within his speech. It started to drop off and some unusual behaviours, like lining up his toys and tiptoe walking. He was very insistent on having the same routines, like driving to the shops. So if we took a different route, it would cause him some distress.
Yes.
We sought out a diagnosis for him. Well, we weren't looking for a diagnosis as such, but we had him assessed and that was the outcome.
It's a challenging time for a parent, isn't it? Because there are certain behaviours that you're looking at and you want to just call it a quirk, or isn't it funny, and isn't it just him, and that's what he's like, and he's our kid. Were you becoming increasingly concerned that Mitch was starting to present in a different way to other kids?
Yes, very much so. We also got a lot of comments, you know, he's a boy. They develop a little bit later in life than the
that's
girls.
That's a standard one.
It is, yeah. So, yeah, we certainly had our concerns and went to health professionals. And
when you got a diagnosis,
yep.
Were you taken aback or were you relieved that this was known?
We knew.
Okay.
We knew after doing a little bit of research of what autism presented like. For us, it was more of a formality. And he was diagnosed just after he turned 3. So It was a very scary and difficult time for the family,
yes,
even though we were expecting it. Once you got that diagnosis, it was very nerve-wracking to know what to do next.
And what kind of options were made available to you? What kind of therapies were considered for you? Because this goes to the very nub of what we're talking about today, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. We were recommended, first and foremost, with speech therapy. He was nonverbal at the time. Other therapies like occupational therapy and psychology. and, you know, we're briefed that we might need assistance at school. We're told to contact the NDIS for some funding support. But with regards to the type of therapy, I had no idea. And I was a worried mother doing better research than an FBI agent, trying to research and pull all this information together. Yeah. And it was a difficult time. It was very stressful.
Professor Andrew Whitehouse and Nicole's situation must be so typical of so many mums and dads, with the reality that there might be lots of Mitchells out there, but lots of Mitchells with very different patterns of behaviour and help required. So how is this roadmap going to make life easier for Nicole and Mitchell and their family?
Well, for starters, we're actually going to have a foundation of a map. At the moment, we've got roads going absolutely everywhere and we don't know which one to choose.
Yes.
So we do have that map. And I think what Nicole said is absolutely typical in the sense that there are so many unknowns. Not only is this beautiful little child in front of you developing differently, you love them enormously and that never changes, but there are unknowns about the future of this child. But then there are the unknowns about the pathway for that child. So what we're trying to do is to provide some knowns in terms of the actual pathway, the logistics, so we can take care of that. So Nicole and her family can take care of the unknowns of how they as a family can get through this initial jolt. And that's really the point that we've done through this research. Now we can help to provide families with a logistical movement forward.
And how did you do it? How did you do it when there are so many options and considerations? Do you as a team look at the validity of some of them and say, well, this has been used in this area and it's been shown not to be very effective that way?
Exactly that. So what we did is we reviewed enormous number of what we call systematic reviews, and encompassed about 1,800 scientific papers in the end. And then we had a very systematic process through which we sought to understand, well, is there evidence that this particular therapy is effective? What's the quality of that evidence? Because, of course, not all science is created equal. That's a really important point. And then based on this, can we recommend this as a suitable clinical practice for families? Just like we do with every aspect of health and medicine, children on the spectrum and their families deserve the same rigour, and that's what we want to provide through this.
On the Drive program, 5 minutes to five, you're listening to Professor Andrew Whitehouse, who's the Autism CRC Research Strategy Director, and Nicole, who's Perth mum to four-year-old Mitchell. We're looking at a landmark report on autism that is looking at the range of interventions and programs and getting us a little closer to what actually works for people like Nicole and her family. So what does Mitchell's world look like today, Nicole? And what path, down which road, hopefully it's the same road that goes to the shops, down which road do you think Mitchell will be travelling?
Look, he's a very happy little boy. We've surrounded him with the right therapists for his needs. So he's currently receiving some specialist speech therapy in the form of pediatric autism communication therapy, and also some ESDM therapy, which is the Early Start Denver model. We felt that was important for him because it provided components of both behavioural and developmental type therapies. So we know that the road is bright. He's now talking a lot more.
Yeah.
He still needs a lot of work and intervention. So we have got a journey ahead of us.
Yeah, you have direction and a clearer sense of it. Tanya has joined the program. Tanya, hello to you.
Hello.
Tell us about your 16-year-old daughter, Tanya.
I have a daughter who was only diagnosed a couple of years ago. It's much more common in girls to be diagnosed later because I would never, ever have guessed that she was on the spectrum.
Yes.
In primary school, she was very anxious. She's incredibly intelligent and became very good at masking. That, again, is, I think, very common in girls. They become very good at masking as a way to fit in. She's doing really well now. The diagnosis was incredibly helpful because for her, it allowed her to understand more about why she felt different. Before she got a diagnosis, She knew something was wrong but didn't know what the problem was.
And I would imagine that that is a very familiar scenario. Andrew, when we think of Tanya and her 16-year-old daughter with a recent diagnosis and the fact that we know better with girls now that autism doesn't necessarily come to them late, but our appreciation and understanding of it seems to come a bit later. Are you feeling that there is real opportunity here to help Tanya, to help Nicole, to help Mitchell?
Most definitely. We want that experience of Tanya's to be a thing of the past. What we now have is to find evidence-based clinical pathways. It's a really boring term, but it's actually, in literal terms, it means where do we provide the best support for families? Before it's a mess, now we've got a roadmap.
Andrew Whitehouse, thank you very much. Nicole, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Jeff.
You're with Jeff Hutchison on ABC Radio Perth and WA.